Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. You can send all your prayer requests, correspondence, and inquiries to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. The WIBR Warn Radio can be found on Sayscape, USA.life, MeWe, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Linktree, and Pure Social. You can also listen to our shows on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. We're also found on the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Anchor, and Podchaser. A lot of different avenues that you can listen to the radio on. And you want to go to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com to check out the latest on Steal the Darkness. It's a Christian fiction written in 2017 by the Watchman, Dana Smith. And you can also find out more information about The Rising. It's the second edition to the Steel series, and it will be coming out soon, so we're excited about that. And you can find out more information on The Rising and read Steal the Darkness by going to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Also, you won't want to miss the shows from last week, last Wednesday's advocacy show, Prophecy End Time Battle for the Harvest, and Thursday's show, Indignation Initiation Invitation, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 87. And on Friday's Sound the Shofar, The Spirit of Adoption, Book of Romans, Part 15. You don't want to miss those shows. You can go to warn-usa.com to find them. And also, you don't want to miss the End Time Christian Prophecy interviews that we had with L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Patrick Heron, Dr. Mike Heiser, Benjamin Baruch, and those are on our classic interviews from the past. And also we have the post, The Road of Life Intersects with Death. It is hard to find peace if all you see in the world is chaos and trouble. There is a cure. Find out what this means. And we also have an article, Faultless to Stand Before the Lamb. You can get this article, you can read the article and get the free ebook on danaglennsmith.com. And here we look at the fact of your standing in Christ Jesus and the reward that awaits all those who are in Him, who loved us and died for us. And we also have Perilous Living, Best and Worst of Times. Perilous Living, Chaos in the World. Really? Or is it just that people can't get along? There is hope and the power to overcome. So you can read those articles and more on danaglennsmith.com and warn-usa.com. We also have America's Endangered State of the Union. America and the nation may be in danger, but we have overcome through Christ Jesus. So we have a lot of articles and shows to listen to by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
Thank you.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglensmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. Welcome to another edition of Friday Sound the Shofar. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. We do this every Friday morning. Fridays. We like our Fridays in America. I don't know about around the world, but here we keep so busy between, well, for us, from Sunday on and even Saturday. Saturday is Shabbat, from Friday night to Saturday night, for those of you who pay attention to it. However, we are saved by grace through faith. We're not saved because we keep Shabbat, but it's a good reminder in a busy world. And even the Jews had to get their goat or their cow or their sheep out of the well once in a while. You know, in other words, translating today, there are things that happen. And so you can't always do as you want to do on a Shabbat. Nevertheless, we move on because we are brethren in Christ. He came to fulfill the law. And there's a lot of stuff. We've been in Romans. We've covered a lot of things. And we had finished. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That little section. You know, that's really important. Because the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. You know. And I'm a firm believer, absolutely positively, that God reveals himself to his people, those who know him. And one, when you get a believer, I mean a true born-again believer, they know. They know, kids. You don't have to mess around. They know. Romans 8 is where we're at. And of course, Paul was talking about the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. And it's interesting to note how, you know, a lot of these chapters, when they divide them, they really shouldn't be divided because the thoughts continue. You know, in the last thing it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We all wait for that. Oh, man, what a glorious day that'll be. So they're waiting for the sons of God. The next verse, for the creature. See, it ties in. The conjunction for ties in to the other one. For the creature. That's us. We're the creature. We're the one that the Creator made. They call us human. And there's dogs and cats and lions and elephants and a lot of other things. You know, and they have personalities. They have a lot of stuff, but they're not like us. But yet they are made there to function. You know. And many a person have found a friend in, you know, like a good horse. My grandfather had a bull. Yeah, that's right. It was a white. He was white. I think he was, I'm not sure, Brahma. Holstein, I don't know what he was. I was a kid, but he loved that thing. Huge horns. We have pictures of him standing beside that bull. He was a farmer. For the creature, you were all creatures made subject to vanity, not willingly, but reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. You know, when we fell, you know. I mean, I guess you could, you know, you look at this, here you are in the garden. You have a beautiful garden. You can eat everything in the garden except for the one tree he didn't want you to, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I mean, you know, you're glorified. Maybe they got bored. I don't know. You'd think in the state that they were created in that they wouldn't get bored. I mean, are people bored in heaven because it's heaven? I mean, the former things are gone. You don't have to take showers. You don't have to brush your teeth. You don't have to work for a living. You don't have to worry about knuckleheads that are running your government. You don't. You don't have to worry about that stuff. Do they get tired? No, they don't get tired. But now we are in this, well, vanity or uselessness, subject to this world which is temporary. And of course, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. And of course, there are other creatures, but there is man in here. But the thing of it is that both the animals and creation itself and everything else fell. And we're here together in this situation, and we're subject to this temporal world. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just, you're here. You got to live by faith. You got to, you know, there's certain things you need to do. And, you know, I mean, if you look at it logically. Now, logically. Now, of course, there are those who use logic to deny God. I'm not one of them. But you can look at it logically. You know, I mean, I'd much rather have been in the garden where it was so nice. Adam and Eve were perfect. They were covered in glory. You know, I mean, you think about it. But the only thing of it is how did the serpent get in there if it's perfect? You know, you find Lucifer appearing before the Lord and, you know, in the Old Testament, we find that, and specifically in the New, the Lord talks about seeing Satan fall to earth as lightning. Revelation also points out that the devil knows that he has but a short time, so he's working furiously to corrupt everybody he can. So this is the world you're in. Welcome to it. Vanity. But yet in the vanity, in this world, we have beautiful mountains, beautiful streams. You know, there's a lot of good. And even in the fall of man, humans have a lot of potential. They do. God gave us the potential. Even your mind is part of the fallen nature. And it has a lot of potential. And even today, you know, where Daniel talked about knowledge increasing and people running to and fro on the earth, you know, we have all this knowledge. We have everything. And we have so much potential for good. So then why are we divided? Why do we hate one another? Why do Christians get slaughtered all over the world? Why do people traffic in kids and women? And why do they traffic in drugs? And why? Because of sin and corruption. Because of the fall. That's why Isaiah pointed out that the curse has devoured the earth. And while we call it global warming, while we warn and blame the carbonites, which is the humans, they hate us, fellow humans. And, of course, there's those who blame the white race for everything. Because, you know, this is a mess. You're the ones that began America, and you wanted a constitutional republic, and you've messed it up. God, that's why I wrote an article some time ago. Sin, skin, and that which is within. See, because in society, sin is in the skin. If you're white, boy, you're sin. Now, of course, I don't believe that. And I'll throw it back at him. I don't receive anybody's condemnation. That's the devil. I'll rebuke him in the name of the Lord, and I'll rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord. But the bottom line of it is that we're not going to be perfect. We may act perfect. We may think we're perfect, but we're not, because we're in a place subject to vanity, not willingly. We're fallen creatures, and because of Christ, you've been delivered, period. Now, you can weep and moan and be anti-God, or you can repent and become his son or his daughter. 21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And of course, I called earlier in verse 20 the creature, and now humans are creatures. Well, they are, but you know, we are a higher level. You know, we're not animals, although we may act like animals. We're made in the image of God. But see, God is a spirit. It's not this flesh thing that you see on the outside. It's not your fat belly, your big butt. It's not your bald head or whatever you may have. You may be on the other end of the spectrum. You know, we have a club that Tower and I go to. But during COVID, it's been kind of fun. Literally. But at any rate, there's some people in there that, both men and women, perfect bodies. Not a scrap of fat on them. You know, they don't have any wrinkles. And boy, they know it. But you see, the thing of it is, if you're going to perfect anything, perfect your walk in Christ, because that is not vanity. Working out, pressing weights, you know, those things are good for your body. But the bottom line of it is, it's vanity. All is vanity. In the end, you need to be developing your spirit, man, because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as a spirit creature, this temple of your body is where you are housed. And this body, I call it the body of death. And see, this is where Paul says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. Because when the children of God are revealed, all of creation and all the animals are going to face the same deliverance. It's going to be different. You're not going to have animals running around trying to eat humans. You're not going to have snakes trying to bite and poison everybody. You know, you're not going to have murder. Now, when we look ahead in Revelation, and we talk about the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, and then you go beyond that, you see that the devil is released after 1,000 years. See, during the millennium, he's locked up, but then he's released and attacks the Jerusalem, where the children of God are at. They're not all going to be housed there, but that's where he's going to be attacking. And he'll convince the world. You know, it's kind of funny how during the millennium, when the devil's released, he's going to convince everybody to come follow him to destroy God in the camp but he doesn't succeed. You see, this one day, all of this is going to be gone. During the millennium, it's a whole different ball of wax for a while. And then there's a culmination. Revelation records it. But see, this is the bondage of corruption that we're in now. There's sin. Christ died for us. He's given us a way. There's a way for you to walk in darkness or in light, in Christ or without Christ. And you make the choice. But one day, our hope is there's going to be a glorious liberty that we've never known. See, because we're subject to this as humans and the creatures too. I mean, all your plants, I mean, everything that's on this earth, the stars, everything there is subject to the fall. But one day, thank God. And that's what Romans is pointing out, what Paul is pointing out. Now, he spent pretty much a good amount of Romans talking about the sin and the fall and just a lot of the issues connected with that and repentance and what God was doing. And, you know, because he's explaining to the Romans, which at the time there was a lot of Jews. They had come to Pentecost, one of the three feasts that you were required to go to Jerusalem. And it was there that Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and the others that were with him, he began to preach. And they heard and believed and went back to Rome. And so a group grew out of that in Rome. And, of course, there was a lot of Jews because he's writing to a lot of the Jews to delineate the difference between this new faith and what Peter was preaching and what, you know, they knew as the law. For Christ didn't come to instill the law. He came to fulfill the law. There's a difference. But without the law, we would never have known what sin is. And Christ became the cure for the sin, the corruption, and the fall of man, and the fall of creation. So this is something to thank God for, because you couldn't have done it on your own. Your parents couldn't have done it. Your kids can't do it. None of us can do it on our own, although many today in the world will believe they can. That's why they're going to follow the beast of Revelation 13. He's going to have a lie. And that's why Paul talks about the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2. Because he's going to come with a lie. People will reject the truth. It says that there. They will reject the love of the truth. That's God so loving the world, the Son loving the Father and loving us to come. The whole gospel, everything that we believe as Christians, society will reject. And we see a lot of that today. Why do you think America is so divided today? Why do you have riots going on in the streets? Why do you think young people want to get rid of, and they're led by people who are total wolves, people who do not know better, and they are working at destroying the Constitutional Republic, which we're not a Constitutional Republic. We have a Constitution left, but even Obama was attacking it. I mean, you know, these people aren't going to be happy until they destroy it. But see, the bottom line of it is our hope, whether you're in America, whether you're in Great Britain, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in any number of places that we talk about all the time as far as persecution of Christians. The thing of it is that Paul next says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together, travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I mean, if you don't have your hope set on Christ, if you're just in this world alone, now Paul talks about this. He said, if in this life alone we only have hope in Christ, then we are of all creatures most miserable. No, my hope is beyond America. My hope is beyond this world. My hope is beyond this body of the flesh. Because the real glorified me, which hasn't been fully glorified, it is housed in this body, has been corrupted through sin and the fall of man. And when I was born into this world, I was born into sin. Now, this is what a lot of the Catholics don't like. Original sin. Now, see, there is original sin. But the thing of it is, there's also this time of innocence. The age of accountability has to set in. And that's when a person grows up and begins to learn right and wrong. And he makes the choice which way he wants to go in life. Now, see, I was raised and by my family who taught me, my dad and mom, and emphasized that I had a conscience and that God had put it there, made us to where we would know what to do. But if we got to the point where we didn't listen, and that's where the Bible tells us you can have a hardened or a seared conscience. So you don't hear God. See, this is the vanity we're in now. And I don't know about you, but when it says here, the whole creation groans and travail in pain, we are in pain right now. If you look around, I mean, every show we do on the Advocacy Show, we're seeing more and more persecution of Christians than we've ever seen. But we're also seeing something else. We're seeing Muslims coming to the Lord like you wouldn't believe. Muslims wanting the Bible. They want Scripture. And in many areas where the radical Islamists are, they do not want Muslims having the Bible. The Bible is the number one enemy, along with the Christian who tries to preach it or teach it. And we're seeing Old Testament and even apostolic miracles happen right in the hardest places because God is moving. The enemies of God are now redeemed. Not all of them, but there's a lot of them that are. We're seeing a change. We are in this world and it's coming to an end, and people now are being shaken around the world and shaken in America. Now see, I write articles, a lot of articles, and I put them on social media, and 9 times out of 10, the people that will comment on my article will do so without reading a word of the article. They'll read my intro, which is designed to bring forth a hook so you will see it and wonder. So they comment on it without even knowing what I'm talking about. One I wrote about the foundations be destroyed. He thought I was talking about the Constitution. That's not what I'm talking about. And it's about America, the foundations be destroyed. He didn't read the article. I don't even have to ask him. I know he didn't. His comment proves it. 9 times out of 10, that's the way people are in America. 9 times out of 10, people think they know what it's like to be Christian. 9 times out of 10, they will judge and prejudge ahead of time because they think they're Christian when all they've ever do is darkened, they tipped their toe, they stuck it inside a church for a while, and they say, I'm a Christian. No, that church is not going to save you. And like the old saying go, any more than putting, you know, a car in a garage would make the garage a car. No, that doesn't work that way. You got to be born again. You got to seek the Lord. You got to take up your cross and follow Him. You got to put off the things of the world. You can't love the world. For all the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, I mean, you have pride, you have lust, you have everything. Oh, boy, isn't that fun? But see, you're in a battle now as a Christian. You're in a battle now. And there's people that are in battles that they're not a Christian. They're facing darkness. They're in trouble. And they need someone to tell them, listen, this is true. If you will seek the Lord with your whole heart and come to Him, He will redeem you. He will give you light. He will bring you out of the darkness. He will deliver you like never before. Because I know it happened to me. And there was nobody around. There was no church around. There was no minister around. There was no preacher around. There wasn't anybody except the cars going by as I knelt on a lonely stretch of road out in the middle of a desert. Because I met God. I wrote a tract many years ago. I met God in the desert. And we sent it overseas to a lot of our friends we were working with, the native pastors, and they passed it around. I'm telling you, this is an experience. And Paul is telling the Romans that it is an experience. It is a deliverance. Because we're waiting for adoption. We're waiting for the fulfillment. Now see, you want to adopt someone, but you have to wait for the papers and wait for the legal work and wait for all that to get done. Now see, our adoption has already been signed and sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We're waiting. God gives us time in this body for one reason. To live for Him, to be a testimony, to be a light, and to tell others, reflect, and try to bring them into Him. Because we are the ambassadors today. We are the apostles. We are the prophets. Oh yeah, there's prophets out there. There's apostles, and they think themselves to be nothing. Well, I'll tell you one thing today, and I'll tell you to your face, buddy or gal. And the truth of it is, I shudder when I hear someone tell me they're a prophet, because I've met true Jewish prophets. And I've seen a lot of fake ones, almost all of them. As far as apostles, I laugh. We can't even take care of the Bema seat in the church without getting screwed up. Like the church of the naked pastor. An article years ago. It wasn't too long ago. I don't know, 5-10 years ago. For all the nudists out there, they all went to church in the nude. And the pastor was in the nude. Dear God in heaven, help me. Get your eyes on heaven, kids. Yeah, right. Even God instructed the priests in the Old Testament, according to the law, that when they were approaching Him, that their nakedness would not show. And there's a reason for that. Because when you appear before God and redeemed, you're not going to be naked. You're going to be clothed in glory, in white. Now, see, we see in Revelation where it says they were all in white, you know. The righteousness of the saints. And I can see why they say that, but in essence, you're going to be in a total different appearance. No, they're not wearing Levi's. No, they don't need your fancy car. You don't drive. You want to go somewhere, you go somewhere. Instantly. So we groan in waiting. And if you're not groaning, if you're not waiting, if you're not looking forward to the Lord, you need to develop that hope. Yes, we live here. We live for Him. We're with our families. And we work and we sweat and we have tough times. We have bad times. We have good times. We have great times. That is called life. And we live it the best way we can by the faith in the Son of God to the glory of the Father. And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we sin, we can confess that sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in that light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, John 1. You must be born again to the Spirit, John 3. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Read Romans. Begin it about Romans chapter 3. Read it through chapter 7 or even 8, because this is all context. But you see, the thing of it is, Paul goes on to say here, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You see, this is a race. It's not just about beginning, it's about finishing. And that is the key for you and your kids and your family. It's not beginning, it's finishing. And the pastor that tells me he left his wife because God told him to marry one of the women in the congregation is a liar and deceived. You got a lot of liars in the pulpit. You got a lot of liars in the church. And you're going to learn quickly that in heaven it's not going to have a section for the Baptists and another section for the Pentecostals. You see, they don't get along very well. We are all in Christ.
No, we're not. I'm in a congregation. And this is where I am. I'm here.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Give me a break. Well, we're not saved by hope, Brother Smith. We're saved by grace, by God, because of Him. Well, that's true. We are saved by grace through faith. But do you know how you got that grace and faith? For you see, God so loved the world. John 3:16. Out of that love came God's mercy. Out of that mercy that He gave man came His grace, which was His favor. And out of that grace or favor came the tool required for man, which was faith. And it goes back to Abraham, who believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. You have to believe God. You have to believe He exists. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you cannot believe, you will not receive. And see, while you have faith, and you're in this bondage of corruption, you're in this world, but through Christ we've overcome. We can live above it. We can resist it. We have the Comforter, His Spirit. We have His Word. We have miracles. We have a lot of tools. And we're going to have tribulation. But man, when you have tribulation, you have trouble, and you get tired, you want rest. My friends, that rest is coming. It won't just be a night's sleep, you know, maybe a weekend that we like or whatever. Your day's off, it'll be, no, it just won't be fishing trips. It won't be hunting. It won't be hiking or whatever you're into. It's going to be that time when all the clocks are set back to zero and the sons of God enter into eternity glorified because of Christ Jesus, Yeshua. That time when the heavenly Jerusalem comes down. That time when you will really see the true Ark of the Covenant. See, because now a lot of Bible scholars want to find the Ark of the Covenant. See, all the things that Moses was commanded to make were exact replicas of those things which were in heaven. They were types. And there is an ark in heaven. But you see, you're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. The movie studios like to do that. Plop some guy or gal up on a cloud, supported by some beam, and then they have clouds out in front of them, and it looks like they're sitting on a cloud, playing a harp. Isn't that wonderful? Or you have those shows, Michael Landon was in it, and I think it was Della Reese, Touched by an Angel. Well, you see, the thing of it is, it's a battle down here. But see, we have to have hope. Because when you have hope, it propels you. You have grace, you have faith. Grace is God's favor for you to access. But when you access, you just set up a whole entire battle. And unless, like Christ said, without me you can do nothing, it's not just staying in the church saying, well, I'm a member and I'm here and I'm... No. You need to be carrying the cross. You need to be walking in the light of Christ. You need to be united in Him. He is the vine. We are the branches. Without Him we can do nothing. We are nourished through the Son of God who lived and died for us. And is at the right hand of the Father, where He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And He's coming again. And when He comes again, He's not coming again to die on the cross. He's not coming again like a politician to kiss babies. He's coming again, and He'll have babies with Him. All of those souls that had been murdered in abortion, He will hold the nations accountable for their decisions, including America. America will receive of the plagues like everyone else. And if you're in this country, whatever form of government is here at the time, when that judgment comes, there will be nothing left. There will be the judgment of the blood for all those innocents. And then there will be the others. But you see, when Christ comes again, everybody's going to have a new body. Even the millennium, it talks about a child being 100 years old. I remember my parents telling me, well, you know, adults are just grown-up children. Well, yeah, I believe it now. I see what's happening in our Congress and around. Yeah, grown-ups... are just big kids that haven't grown up. Yeah, they've gotten the physical part grown up, but they're still mentally incapable. And that's the way we are, and it's because of sin. But see, we're saved by that hope. That hope propels us. It's fuel for us. It allows us to see beyond the veil. Not just what we're destined for, but we look beyond it and we see that with a fervent hope. And we know that we know that we know we're going to be there. Just like the one facing death, I'm ready to go. That's what they say. When you read what, and I urge you, if you haven't heard our advocacy broadcast, you need to listen. Because people are facing dire things. And see, in America too, you have to understand that America needs to be shaken to wake them out of their slumber. The churches need to be shaken. And judgment, and I guarantee you that the churches in this country will face judgment like you've never seen before. Persecution. And that's in order to save them, to cleanse them, in preparation for the coming of the Lord. For judgment must first begin at the house of God. Then if we who are saved barely survive, where will the sinners and the ungodly stand? Where will they stand? Outside of the grace of God. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Yes, we do, with patience and faith. Remember in Revelation it says this is the faith and patience of the saints. Look up that phrase and you'll find it. Faith and patience of the saints. We are to have faith and patience, and there's going to be tribulation and trouble. And I know you don't want to hear that. I've been speaking about this for many years. Many, many years. But you see, Paul then goes into likewise. I like that, likewise. There's help here. That's what he's saying. See, with patience, we wait for it. Hope, we look beyond. And we hope for that which we cannot see now. But we have been touched by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God. Christ lives this in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But see, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We call this language speaking in other tongues. And they can't be uttered. But yet it is. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And there's a lot of discussion, not a lot, but some, about exactly what that means. That the Spirit intercedes for us without ever having any verbal exterior evidence, which is false. It happened at Pentecost. It continues to happen. But there are a lot of churches today that don't believe in a lot of these things. But the Spirit of God is within you if you're a truly born-again spirit. Born of the Lord. Because if the Spirit of God isn't in you, then you're no... As it says, the Spirit of Christ, if he isn't in you, then you're none of his. You know, and if there was anyone that needed help from the Spirit of God, it's you and me. There is a power. But I think the one thing that I really like here in all of this, because he's talking about vanity, about the creature being subjected to the corruption that is in the world, the corruption in the body, the struggle that there is. We have to hope beyond this world. The thing that he does to bring this down, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we know. Now you see, that sounds great. I love that phrase. But you have to be mature to read that. Because if you're not mature, you'll think that everything is going to work for good, that everything's going to be fine. I will never face any troubles. If you believe that, then you have interpreted it wrong. It's taken in context with the Word of God. In the world, we will have tribulation. We have sincere Christians around the world. Now, in North Korea, and they're, because of contacts, very secretive, it has come out through certain of those contacts about that there are churches in North Korea. But you see, the people are the church. When they meet together, two or three of them, with the Spirit of Christ in them, if they go in a building, they're going to have church. The church, the building doesn't make the church. The name don't make the church. The methods of man don't make the church. The Spirit of Christ is what makes church. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And in Pakistan, many Christians, there's a bunch of them that are in prison there for blasphemy, things which they did not do. We've covered this. Asiya Bibi is one example. We covered her for years. She was finally released after 9.5 years. She was on death row. And it went to their Supreme Court, so to speak, and they found that there wasn't enough evidence. 9.5 years, separated from her kids and her husband. And when they did that, the radical Muslims threatened to destroy Pakistan. So they had to hold her somewhere secret until they could get her out of the country because she wasn't safe. She's living around the world somewhere else now. And matter of fact, I work to take all the articles down that I find of her because I don't want people to even know about that woman. She needs to be left alone. She needs to be with her children. She needs to be with her husband. She needs to find peace. And she will be telling people on her own about what God has done for her. You get into India is another one. And a lot of Christians are the Dalits, the lowest class, the untouchables, I mean. And they're Christians. And you have the tribal areas, very tough. And Christians are getting killed all the time. A lot of times. In Africa, they're being hunted down by Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Fulani, and there's a few others. There's more radical Islamic groups that we don't know about than we do know about. So if you live in those areas, all things work together for good can mean you're going to be martyred for Christ. We did a story this week about a woman who saw her two sons' throats slit and her husband murdered in front of her face. after the Muslims broke down the wall to get in there, in their area where their house was. They took all their belongings, everything they could get their hands on, and on their way out, they sliced the boy's throat, the kid's throats, and killed the husband, and she was left alone. As soon as they went out the gate, she went down, found out that the boys were still alive, and they were able to save the boys, and the boys now, they run around with a big mark around the throat where it had been sliced. They used to be ashamed of it, and then they realized that it was a mark that they stood for Christ, because they said, if you don't become a Muslim, we'll kill you here, and they wouldn't deny Christ. The father wouldn't deny him either, but they killed him outright, which is normal. So in America, you can preach that God meant for you to have a Cadillac or a big car or a beautiful house. And I heard, I'm not going to tell you who this guy was, but you would know him if you're from my generation and even younger. He said, unless you have money, you can't have joy. You have to have a big car, big house. And they'll know that God provided for you, and they'll come on over. And they'll say, I want your God. Why? So you can get that. That's not the reason to come to Christ. It's because of sin. Christ didn't die to give you a Cadillac, a big house, or whatever the fancy cars are today. And we do know yet, in spite of all that, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We do know that. But we realize that following Christ, there is a cost. And if you don't know that yet, you're going to find out. America, the place that had been a haven for Christians and people worldwide, is being targeted by forces that want to destroy it. And if this country falls, as Ronald Reagan says, there's no place else to go. And that's the truth. You would think that the churches and the Christians and everybody would be fighting tooth and nail to stop this country from being destroyed. And you have Biden and the Democrats, and there, I can tell you that Biden's administration is profane. And he's up there for a reason. I can tell you this nation is filthy and profane, and there needs a lot of repentance, and God is not going to deliver you. Now, he will watch over the churches, over the Christians, but there's going to be a testing time. Because God has had it with America throwing the vileness in his face and trying to claim the blessings of God. It's over. If you're going to keep America, you've got to fight for it. And I'm not talking about bullets. I'm talking about the sword of the Spirit. But you see, the thing of it is, you could lose this country, and you could lose it in the next 4 years permanently. And we hear not a word from the churches, not a word from the leaders, not much of anything. They should have been out protesting by the tens of millions. But we have given in, and we are losing the battle to keep America. And I was told many, many years ago, after a series of visions, that America as I know it would cease to exist. Now, I've known that as long as I've known Tower, actually more, because I knew it before I knew her. But, well, I've got to go, folks. We'll take up where we left off. I pray that God will keep you, protect you, and guide you in these end of days. Be blessed. Have a good weekend. Don't forget to go by our websites, Warren-USA, DanaGlennSmith.com. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.